verses 8 through 10. There is a word from the Lord. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verses 8 through 10. And I have tried, and I'm trying each Sunday this month to deal with Thanksgiving, because I believe that Thanksgiving ought to be more than just a one-day, one-time event in the life of a believer. It ought to be every day and all the time. Amen. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verses 8 through 9. And there you will find these words. Give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him. Sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. And for just a moment this morning, I want you to think with me in terms of a subject: living a life of thanksgiving. Living a life of thanksgiving. Thank you, ushers. Part of being a Christian is living a thankful life. One of the main characteristics that sets us apart from the world should be living a life of thanksgiving. And with that being said, let me also thank God for Brother Corbin, who is back with us. God bless you, Deacon Corbin. One of the main characteristics that sets us apart from the world should be living a life of thanksgiving. There are four elements that are in this passage that speak of our living a thankful life. As we prepare to celebrate Thanksgiving in a few weeks, I hope we will take time to reflect upon the goodness of God. How many of you can testify that God has been good to you? Amen. Amen. It is a time for us to reflect and give thanks for all that God has blessed us with. My desire is that Thanksgiving will be more than a day or a week. My desire is that we will manifest the attributes of thankfulness each and every day of our lives. The Thanksgiving season is important because it gives us the perfect opportunity to transform our lives from those of griping and dissatisfaction to lives of joy and gratitude. My brothers and sisters, this season is a good time for us to turn the corner and become grateful people. God wants us to be grateful people. Many of us fail to act like we're grateful, because one thing I know is that if you're complaining, it suggests that you're not truly grateful. If you're murmuring and always have your lips poked out and you're always sad and sour and distasteful, it tells me that you're not really thankful, because thankful people walk a little different. Amen. Thankful people talk different. When you think about all that God has done in your life, all of the ways that he's made, all of the mountains he's brought you over and the valleys he's brought you through, when you think about all the times that you were sick and yet he healed your body, all of the times that you were in financial distress, you didn't know where the money was coming from, you didn't know how you were going to pay the light bill, but somehow the light bill got paid, it just suggests to me that at some point along the way, God's people ought to trust him enough that no matter what comes our way, we believe he's going to make a way. As a matter of fact, if God brings you to it, come on, where are my witnesses who know that he's also able to bring you through it? That's why we ought to be a thankful people. He wants us to be people of thanksgiving and gratitude. Well, there are four elements of true thanksgiving found in our text today that ought to help us to live a thankful life. The first thing in verse 8, he says, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. That tells me that the first thing we need to do is just simply remember what God has done. That's the answer to a lot of your depression. That's the answer to a lot of you not being able to smile, no joy, no happiness, amen, because you forgot what he did for you yesterday. So many folk are walking around sad because God hasn't done the next thing yet. But one of the reasons maybe that he hasn't done the next thing yet is because you haven't shown him proper gratitude for the last thing he did. He tells us that we ought to make known his deeds among the people. As we go day to day, it's easy to forget what God has done. We often become a people of griping and complaining instead of being thankful. What has God done in your life that you can be thankful for? Well, let me help you. First of all, you ought to be able to thank him because he is your creator. Amen. He created us. You didn't just drop out of the sky. You weren't. Your being here is not an accident. It was not a coincidence. The fact that you have life suggests that God was thinking about you before you knew to think about yourself. Come on, you ought to thank him that he created you. And let me tell you something. One reason some people can't thank God for creating them is because they have let society and people, amen, convince them that who they are and what they are is not good enough. But I dare you, I double dare you, my brothers and sisters, to stop looking to people for your confidence and for your self-esteem. I dare you to get in the mirror sometimes and just say, Lord, I thank you for making me who I am. And see, some of you will have to say like me, I'm not everything I ought to be. I'm not everything I want to be. But is there anybody here who can say, I thank God I'm not what I used to be? And do you know why I can thank him for not being what I used to be? Because it suggests that he's working on me. Is he working on anybody else other than me? Y'all have heard me say this before, that one of the fears I had growing up in my parents' house is my dad was the disciplinarian. And one of the fears I always had, because I'm the youngest of eight, and I remember times when my father had to whip my other brothers and sisters, amen. And y'all, some of y'all know today some of the whippings that folk got back then would be considered child abuse. I remember extension cords and switches and belts and sometimes just whatever was close. And I made up in my mind that one of the things I wanted to make sure in my life is that my daddy never had to put his hands on me. So I tried to be real good. And if I was going to mess up and be bad, I had to be real clever about it, because I was determined that my father was not going to put his hands on me. But now that I'm saved and now that I'm a child of the Most High God, y'all, my fear is not that my Heavenly Father will put his hands on me. My fear is that he'll take his hands off of me. Because the Bible says whom he loves, he chastises. And so I thank God today that I'm not all I ought to be. I'm not all I want to be. But thank God I'm not what I used to be. And the reason I can say I'm not what I used to be is because God has his hand on me. That's something to be thankful for. But then you ought to be able to thank God for your relationships. Amen. Amen. God blesses us to develop in this life relationships. Mothers and children and fathers and children and husbands and wives and friends and acquaintances, co-workers and neighbors. Amen. You ought to be able to take a moment and reflect on some of the relationships you've developed in this life, and you'll have to admit that my life is better because of some of the relationships God has allowed me to have. Amen. That's a reason to thank him. That's a reason to thank him. And then here's another reason you ought to thank him. You ought to thank him for provision. I know you the one get up early in the morning and go to that job, but is there anybody here who understands that if it wasn't for God, you wouldn't have a job? I know you labor and you work hard, amen, to get that check, but if it wasn't for God, there would be no check. Amen. So you ought to thank God for being a provider. Thank you, Lord, for being a provider, food and shelter and health. God provides what we need. And then if you can't thank him for creation, if you can't thank him for your relationships, you can't thank him for provision. If you're saved today, you ought to be able to thank him for saving you. Because I know you're cute and all that, and I know you got all those degrees and all of that, amen, but none of that qualifies you to be saved. Only your faith in Jesus Christ shed blood, that's the only thing that qualifies us to be saved. And I thought right here I get at least two or three folk who were so excited because you remember when you weren't saved. You remember what it was like when you didn't know the Lord, amen, in your sins, when you didn't know him and you didn't trust him, but now you can say, I'm saved. You can say, he looked beyond my faults and saw my needs, and I'm going to be grateful. Well, another reason you can thank him is you can thank him for a prepared place. The Bible calls it heaven. Amen. And I know some of you, if you could testify right now, you would say, Pastor, I've caught a lot of hell down here. And every now and then we all, amen, have to go through some hell down here. But I thank God that when I leave this place, he's prepared a better place for you and I. Amen. You ought to thank him for heaven. We can be thankful for the air we breathe. He woke us up this morning to enjoy another day. You ought to be thankful for life. Amen. Amen. Thankful for all that he has done. The psalmist says, make known his deeds among the people. But then secondly, not only should you remember what he's done, this is if you're going to live a life of thanksgiving, you've got to, he says in verse 9, sing unto him, sing psalms unto him. But then he says this, talk ye of all his wondrous works. Talk. See, I like the fact that he starts out by telling us we ought to sing. Amen, amen, amen. And you may not know A flat from B flat. You may not know anything about crescendos and decrescendos. You may not know anything about pianissimo and forte. Amen. But when you think about the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for you, come on, where are my off-key folk? You know, You can't get it in the right key, but every now and then when you get to thinking about how good God is, you might be in your car all by yourself. You might be in the shower all by yourself, but a song will come up on your heart that sings of his wondrous works, that sings about how good he is. That's one reason we come to church. We come to praise him. I said we come to praise him. We come to praise him. We praise him, amen, amen, for what he's done. Now, if he hasn't done anything for you, then, oh, okay, I understand why you don't praise him. But if you're one of those who knows beyond a shadow of a doubt that God has been good to you and he's blessed you, then you ought to have a praise. And can I tell you something about the kind of praise you ought to have? Amen. You ought to have the kind of praise that you don't need nobody to tell you when to clap. You don't need anybody to tell you when to stand. You don't need anybody to tell you to say hallelujah or thank. When I think about the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, I will sing his praises. Ooh, he's been so good. But I like it. I like it because the psalmist suggests that when we finish praising him, that's not the end of our thankfulness. In other words, he's telling us that when we leave the church house, amen, we ought not stop our praise. He says, don't just sing, but then he says, talk ye of all his wondrous works. And we got some talkers up in here. See, that's one of the moments where the old preachers say, when the preacher hits you, and you know you're the one, amen. That's when you say amen loud to throw folk off. Amen, amen. I said, we got some talkers in here. The problem is we're just talking about the wrong stuff. We ought to be talking about his wondrous works. Amen. How many of us are complainers and gripers by nature? Some folk can't help but see the negative side of everything. You know who you are. But can I tell you something, my brothers and sisters? If we were living in our old nature, that would be okay. But Paul says it like this. He says that there's supposed to have been a change in our lives. In 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That means your conversation ought to change. If you still gossiping and lying and spreading rumor and innuendo, none of it is grounded in fact. You just emailing and texting and talking stuff that has nothing to do with God's wondrous works. God told me to come by and tell you that when your praise stops here, you ought to still give him praise even when you talk on the phone. Whew. Oh, my God. Paul says that we've become new persons. For what reason? What reason? I'm glad you asked. 2 Corinthians 5 and 18, the very next verse, he says, and all things are of God who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, here it is, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. That means we're supposed to be bringing folk to him. That means we're supposed to be reconciling folk who are in darkness. We ought to be bringing them into the light. That means that we ought to be the kind of witnesses that want to see people saved. But can I tell you something? When we're talking negative talk, when we're talking gossip, when we're talking stuff that has no kingdom significance, we are not drawing people to Christ. We are running people away from Christ. And I would hate to be you on Judgment Day. I would hate to be you when you got to stand before the Lord and he's got to read a list to you of all the folk who are not in heaven because of your mess. Y'all getting mighty quiet. Can I tell you three things? When we talk more about God's works, we talk less about our own works. It ought not always be me, myself, and I. It ought to be, oh, look what God did. How he blessed me. Amen. The second thing I would tell you is that when we talk more about God's works, we talk less about other people's works. Because church folk are experts at sitting back pointing fingers of condemnation, talking about what this one ain't doing, and the pastor ought to be doing this, and the deacons ought to be doing that, the choir ought to be singing this, and the ushers ought to wear. We're experts at sitting back talking about other folks' works, but do you know what I believe? I believe that if we were busy working ourselves, and if we were busy talking about God and his wondrous works, we wouldn't have time to be pointing fingers of condemnation. Y'all quiet, but that's all right. It's good medicine. But then the third thing, when we talk more about God's works, we entertain mess less. So we entertain mess less. Amen. If you and I are not living a thankful life to God, it will drive people from the cross instead of to it. Let me say something to you wives. Wives, when you talk negatively about your husband to your children, it will cause your children to dishonor their father. Let me talk to the husbands. Husbands, when you talk negatively about your wife to your children, it will cause your children to dishonor their mother. Church members, when you talk negatively about your pastor, about your deacons, about your fellow members, it will cause those to whom you talk to dishonor the church. One fix to that is to talk less about people and talk more about God. Can I help somebody today? When that messy person calls you with some mess, amen, go on, let them say what they're going to say, but change the subject. Amen. Instead of entertaining the mess that they've called you with, just mention to them something God did for you in that day. Mention to them something God did for you in that week. Is there anybody here who knows that when you get to talking about God and all that he's done, it's contagious? Because one thing I know, God ain't just blessed Reverend Garner. Amen. But I guarantee that if I start enumerating all the stuff he's done for me, it's going to be a reminder to somebody that I'm talking to that, you know, he did some things for me too. And before you know it, church will break out. I am just foolish enough to believe that when the people of God get together, where one, two or three are gathered together in his name, it can be in Walmart, it can be in Market Basket, it can be at the car wash, but when you start talking about God and how good he's been, is there anybody who knows church will break out? Church will break out at Market Basket. Church will break out at the car wash, and that is attractive to folk who are consumed with fear and folk who are consumed with loss and depression. Amen. When they see our joy, they'll say, I want some of what you got. And that brings us to my third point. Amen. Not only ought we to talk about the goodness of God and all that he's done, not only should we tell others what he's done, amen, but we ought to also, because you know talking is cheap. Talking is cheap. We got to move beyond singing and praising in here on Sunday. And yes, we ought to talk about his goodness, but we've got to move even beyond the talk. We need to show his glory. Show his glory. Amen. 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 When Brother Corbin, when I came in the office there this morning and Brother Corbin was sitting there and I said, you out already? I said, where's your wheelchair? And he held up his little walking stick. Amen. Amen. And he said, favor ain't fair. Amen. He said he's ahead of schedule. The doctors told him it would take this long, but he's already back at church. He's already walking with the stick. Amen. Amen. See, when you start talking and then start showing, see, he didn't have to say God did this. He could have been like the man when the World Trade Center was destroyed and some folk were saved and they came out of there with ash all over them. And there was a man, and the interviewer asked the man, how did you survive? He said, I was lucky. And some of us say that same kind of foolishness. But I would encourage you, my brothers and sisters, that when we come out, when we come through, when we get an opportunity to witness and testify about what God has done, make sure God gets the credit. Come on, where might God give credit for? He woke me up this morning. He put food on my table. He gave me the clothes on my back. He blessed my children. He blessed my marriage. He blessed me with this job. He's my everything. Let folks see how good God is in your life. That's how you live a life of thanksgiving. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He also, in verse 25, it says, is to be feared above all gods. The basis of us showing his glory to others is declaring God's character and attributes through the way we live our life for him. Do our lives speak of the greatness of God? Can others see it in how we live? Matthew 5 and 16, and I'm almost through. Matthew 5 and 16, Jesus says what? Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. We ought to be living a thankful life so that others can see the glory of God in us. And then the final point, if you want to live a life of thanksgiving, the final point is that you've got to offer gifts of self, gifts of time, and gifts of resources. Let me show you how we know it. If you still have your Bibles open, in verse 8, you'll notice that it says, give thanks to the Lord. In verse 29, you'll notice that it says, give to the Lord the glory he deserves. Bring your offering and come to worship him. In verse 34, it says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. Notice in these verses the one constant, give to the Lord. God has given us so much, my brothers and sisters, to be thankful for. But part of living a thankful life is giving back to God. We can do that by giving of ourselves first and foremost. Amen. The best gift that we have is our time. Amen. Give of ourselves. Let God use you. Bishop Martin said, Lord, whatever you're doing in this season, don't do it without me. You ought to be a kingdom worker. You ought to say, Lord, I'm available to you. Lord, I want to be used by you. Give him your time. I wonder if you had to tally up how much time you give to this and how much time you give to that, how many of you could counterbalance your time in such a way that you could say, I've given God more of my time than I've given anybody else? Very few of us, right? Amen. Because you're going to be at work on time. Even when you're sick, you find a way there, but a little head cold will keep you from church. Amen. It can be snowing and sleeting and lightning and all of that. You're going to find your way to that J-O-B. But it can be sprinkling on a Sunday morning. And what really makes it bad is that you'll tell the children, we ain't going to church today in all that bad weather. Tell your neighbor, give God your time. Give him your time. Give him your worship. Amen. And somebody asked me, sent me an inbox message on Facebook the other day wanting to know, is there anything in the Bible that says you have to come to church? And there is a passage. Amen. The Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourself. You see, because some folk, amen, say, well, I'm going to watch the streaming. Streaming ain't for you if you're healthy and you're able to get to church. Streaming is for those who are sick and shut in. Streaming is for those members who are not here anymore. They live in other places, but they still want to be connected to the church. If you are physically able, if God has given you health and strength, you ought to get to the church to worship him. And I remind you that we don't worship, we praise him for what he's done. We don't worship him for what he's done. Where are my folk who know why we worship him? We worship him simply because of who he is. That means you can be broke, busted, and disgusted, but you still owe God your worship. It means, amen, that you may not have enough money to get your weave right. You may not have enough money to get you the right shoes or the right suit, but God is still worthy to be worshiped. You, amen. I go back again to what Dr. King said. He said, if you can't fly, run. If you can't run, walk. If you can't walk, crawl. And I would say to you, my brothers and sisters, how whatever it takes for you to get in the presence of God, to get into this place and worship him, you ought to get here, because I think I got a few witnesses who know that when I worship God, things begin to happen in my favor. When I worship God, doors open that otherwise would not. When I worship God, I see stuff differently. Stuff that used to have me all distressed. And when I start worshiping him and realizing who he is and what he's able to do, my problems get out of my way. Sickness has to get out of the way. Where are my witnesses who know we ought to worship him?
We at the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church hope that Reverend Garner's message blessed and revived your spirit. Thank you for listening, and be sure and join us in Leesville for our regularly scheduled Sunday and midweek services. If you'd like a copy of this message, phone us at 337-238-1779. The Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, the place where God blesses his people.
K-A-Y-T, Lake Charles, 100.1.
Sometimes the hardest person for you to forget is the one you see in the mirror every day. It's time for you to get free. Sing fire.
I decided to stop replaying regrets. And I decided to tell
everything in
my past goodbye. I cannot change what I did, but it didn't change what you gave when you took my place. No more guilt but grace.
Time to let it go.
Held on way too long, watching reruns of my role take the shame away.
No more.
Really. live in mistakes, you washed away.
So I want you.